It would almost certainly be understood in the Glitterband and Chasm City, even if the mediation was done by machines, but the default tongue of the Demarchists who had refounded Yellowstone was Canadian, a slippery amalgam of Quebecois French and Cantonese. It was said that no one without a head full of linguistics processors ever really achieved genuine fluency in Canadian. The language was just too fundamentally strange, too much at odds with the hardwired constraints of human deep grammar. I would have been worried had the Demarchists not been such consummate traders. For more than 2 centuries, Yellowstone had been the hub of the burgeoning interstellar trade network, feeding innovation out to nascent colonies, drinking it back in like a vampire when those colonies reached a basic level of technological maturity. It would have been a commercial necessity for the stoners to cope with dozens of other languages. Of course, there would be dangers ahead. In that sense, Vadim was entirely correct. But the dangers were not the kind to which he alluded. They would be subtle, arising from my own unfamiliarity with the nuances of a culture at least 2 centuries beyond my own. The outcome was less likely to be my own injury than the abject failure of my mission. That was enough of a danger to make me wary. But I did not need to buy a spurious assurance of protection from thugs like Vadim, whether he had his contacts or not. Something caught my eye. It was Vadim again. And this time he was causing more of a commotion. He was wrestling with the man who had just come into the commons, the two of them grappling with each other while remaining anchored to the commons wall. The other man looked like he was holding his own against Vadim, but there was something in Vadim's movements, something languid to the point of boredom, which told me that Vadim was only letting the man think that he had the edge. The other passengers were doing a good job of ignoring the scuffle, grateful, perhaps, that the thug had selected someone else for his attention. Abruptly, Vadim's mood changed. In an instant, he had the newcomer pinned to the wall in obvious pain, Vadim pushing his brow hard against the man's terrified face. The man started to say something, but Vadim had his hand against the man's mouth before more than a mumble emerged. Then what emerged was the man's last meal, streaming vilely between Vadim's fingers. Vadim recoiled in disgust and pushed himself away from the man. Then he secured himself with his clean arm and drove his fist into the man's stomach, just below the ribcage. The man coughed hoarsely, his eyes bloodshot. He tried to catch his breath before Vadim delivered another blow. But Vadim was done with him. He paused only to wipe his arm against the fabric walling of the commons, then unhooked himself, ready to kick off towards one of the exits. I calculated my arc and kicked off first, savoring an instant of breezy freefall, before I impacted with the wall a meter from Vadim and his victim. For a moment, Vadim looked at me in shock.
Mirabel, I thought we concluded the negotiations?
I smiled. I just reopened them, Vadim. I had myself nicely anchored. With the same casual ease with which Vadim had struck the man, I struck Vadim, in more or less the same place. Vadim folded in on himself like a soggy origami figure, emitting a soft moan. By now the rest of the people were less interested in minding their own business. I addressed them. I don't know if any of you have been approached by this man yet, but I don't think he's the professional he'd like you to think. If you've bought protection from him, you've almost certainly wasted your money. Vadim managed a sentence.
You're a dead man, Mirabel.
Then I've very little to fear. I looked at the other man. He had regained some of his color now, wiping his sleeve across his mouth. Are you all right? I didn't see how the fight's